Welcome everyone to the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting today on Monday, March 20th, 2023. As you just heard, this meeting is being recorded and the meeting audio will be placed on our website, which is wmata.com. I'll share a few helpful tips for people. Anyone joining through phone calls, you can click on *6 to mute or unmute yourself. If you would like to make comments, you can virtually raise or lower hands by pressing *9. Everybody who's on the video conference, you can click on the speaker icon to mute or unmute yourself. If you would go under reactions, click on the raise hand icon that will raise or lower your virtual hands. If you're able to use these tools, it will be helpful, because then we know that somebody is trying to make comments and we can have one speaker at a time. At this point, all the participants should be on mute. I request that everyone stays on mute unless speaking. It helps us eliminate any external noise. So thank you for that. Also informing that we do have American Sign Language interpreters with us on this meeting. Therefore, when speaking, please state your name before you make your comments. It helps them in doing their job well. It also helps everyone on the phone calls knowing who the speaker is at the time. Chair Summerford, at this point, if you would like, I can go ahead and read the meeting agenda and then take the roll call.
Thank you.
Oh, okay, thank you. Let me also share my screen. So that I can have agenda displayed. Ooh. Sorry, I have too many documents open. So taking here a little longer than it should. However, I shall be able to display in just a quick second. Hope everyone is about to enjoy the spring that's going to begin in an hour and a few minutes. Okay, so I believe my agenda, my screen should be visible at this point. After I finish reading the agenda, we will take roll calls of the committee members. Afterwards, Chair Samuelford will go through the motion of reviewing and approval of today's meeting minutes and today's meeting agenda and last month's meeting minutes. After that, we will have customer service report and the commendations report, followed by Michael Wilson Award, as well as the AAC Metro Access Safety Award. At 4:20, we will have an update about Metro Access pickup window change by Mr. Blake. At 4:40, Mr. Blake will again give us information about return trip wait time policy review. At 5:05, we will have an update about Where is My Ride application pilot by Mr. Blake. At 5:25, we will have an update on Metro Access minivan vehicles by Mr. Blake. At 5:35, we will have public comments and the meeting is scheduled to be adjourned at 6 p.m. I would stop sharing my screen. Next is roll call of the committee members. When I call out your name, please confirm your presence. Azhar Atura. Darnese Bush. Tino Calabia.
Present.
Thank you. Vanessa Coles. Rico Dancy. Tawan Farmer.
Present.
Thank you. Debbie Fisher. Debbie Fisher actually informed that she may not be able to attend today's meeting. Marcy Goldstein. Timothy Howard. Steve Caffin.
He's in flight.
Steve Caffin also informed that he will not be able to join today's meeting.
President.
Thank you, Marcy. Thomas Mangrum. Philippa Mazzell.
Present.
Thank you. Sandy Newsel.
Present.
Thank you. Phil Posner.
Present.
Thank you. Doris Ray. Denise Rush.
Present.
Thank you. Paul Samelford.
Present.
Thank you. Patrick Sheehan. Kelly Simonoff. Philip Weintraub. Okay, that concludes today's roster. At this time, Chair Samelford, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
Thank you.
This is Vanessa. I am here. I'm on the 3058.
Okay, thank you, Vanessa. And I see Patrick is also on this meeting.
All right, we're going to move this agenda here. So we're going to do the review and approval of the meeting agenda. We already have a fully packed agenda. I am going to sneak in one tiny little item that only will take less than 5 minutes about Metro Access web booking, but I will stick that in at some appropriate time in the agenda. It's just some comments to give to management in terms of the feedback of what I'm seeing, but that is about it. So beyond that, are there any other recommendations, changes, additions to this fully packed set of agenda for today? Hearing the crickets, I would like to get a motion to approve the agenda as with the one amendment I made about talking about Metro Access web booking.
So moved.
All those in favor, please do so by saying aye.
Aye.
Nays, abstentions, the motion carries to move the agenda as amended. Next is the prior meeting minutes from last month in February. Are there any additions, changes, comments to the minutes from last month from the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting? Hearing the crickets, I would like to move to approve the those minutes from February 2023 for the subcommittee as is. Could I get a motion?
So moved.
All those in favor, please do so by saying aye.
Aye.
Nays, abstentions, the motion carries to approve the minutes from last month's subcommittee meeting as is. Next is Ms. Anderson and company and the crew for the customer service report and accommodations report.
Good afternoon, everyone. Can everyone hear me?
You're kind of fading in and out, but we can hear you.
Okay. Again, my name is Allison Anderson. I'm with the Office of Metro Access Service. It is my pleasure to introduce Kay Clark to provide the public comment resolution information from our last session, as well as the commendation report that she provides per each provider each session. So with Kay, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Ms. Anderson. Can you hear me okay? Are you able to hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Thank you. Sorry about that. All right. So there actually are no public comments from either of the February meetings. Moving on to the commendations, Metro Access received 313 in the month of February. Broken down by provider, we have First Transit with 54. TransDev also had 54. MVOCC had 77. Challenger, 30. Next Transportation, 83. MTM, 3. Abilities Ride 12, and that was a complete count for the month of February. Again, with a total of 313, and that completes my report.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you for that. Would you like us to move on to the Michael Wilson edition?
Sure.
Before I move on to that, just to provide again, we have not been out to do outreach in person. However, we have received customer reports or issues via either our office or the Office of ADA Planning, and we have taken great effort to make sure that we are making contact with those customers or patrons to resolve whatever issues they're bringing forth to us.
Ms. Anderson, we're receiving an echo from your talking. I don't know why.
Okay. Let me
try to get off this headset.
And yeah, that's what I'm hearing too. Okay.
Is that better?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, ixnay the headset. All right. With that, I'd like to present our partners from Challenger Transportation this afternoon to present the Michael Wilson Recognition Award, as well as the AAC Safety Awards. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Montebaro, who is the project manager with Challenger Transportation. Pierre?
Yes, good afternoon, everybody. We chose two people, one for the safety and one for the Michael Wilson Award. I'm going to let each supervisor and manager of my department to present the two recipients. Gina, you can go ahead and start it.
Good afternoon. My name is Gina Fletcher. I'm the safety and training manager for Challenger Transportation. And in the safety department, we chose Ms. Marilyn Foster to receive this award. She began working for Challenger Transportation on July 2nd of 2018. And she's became an excellent asset to our company as an operator, BTW trainer, and a support person as needed to her fellow coworkers. Ms. Foster is willing to assist in any task that is required of her, regardless of what it may be. She has an impeccable safety record with no preventable incidents during her employment at Challenger, nor customer injuries. On a more personal note, Ms. Foster was born in Nicaragua and immigrated to the United States looking for a better future for her and her 10-month-old daughter, her only child, Ashley, leaving her family behind. Her daughter is the love of her life and is now 15 years old. She's been married for 4 years to her husband, Edwin. 2 months after arriving at the United States, she began working at Walmart and stayed there for 8 years, and then started working for a recycling company for about 2 years. Ms. Foster thanks God, as he has always been on her side and helped her to get through this difficult journey. As one of the dedicated trainers, Ms. Foster takes her responsibility in maintaining her safety record and safety being her top priority. For these reasons, Ms. Foster was selected to be the recipient of the AAC Safety Award. Ms. Foster is on the line. She is going to be given a basket in the morning with a plaque, with a multiple different other items, along with a gift card for her hard work and dedication to the company. Ms. Foster, is there anything you'd like to say?
I just want to say thank you to everyone. Thank you for everything, for trust me, to believe in me, giving the best I can on this job. Everything I do with love. I love to take care of people with disability. I put all my love on them because I have family, and I have family to have some kind of disability. And I want, you know, whoever to take care of my family, I want that they give, you know, the love I put on the people I work with. And just say thank you for everything.
Thank you so much for your service to all of our customers.
And for the Michael Wilson Award, I'm going to let my safety supervisor, Stacey Brewer, present our recipient.
Hello, good afternoon, everyone. I hope everyone is having a great day. I have the honor of presenting the Michael Wilson Award to Mr. Adrian Ajanko. Adrian is just dear to my heart. He officially started beginning to work at Metro Access in October of 2018. He is a great asset to Challenger. Now, although Mr. Adrian is very quiet and very mild-mannered, Mr. Ajanko knows when and how to use his voice. Mr. Ajanko believes in following policies and procedures that he has been taught to provide the safest experience for our customers. On a personal note, Mr. Ajanko was born and raised in the Philippines. He came to the United States in 2006 and started working in retail. He worked in retail for 11 years. He has two children. One is 21 and the other is 12 years old. He loves listening to music and was in a band when he was still in high school. He played the drums and with his quiet nature, that really surprised me. In his spare time, he enjoys playing video games with his 12-year-old and skateboarding with his eldest son. He also enjoys billiards. Mr. Ajanko says he started driving when he was 15 years old. He said he would take his dad's car, of course, without permission. He is thankful he never got caught. This is where his love for driving started. Mr. Ajanko is a wonderful driver with excellent customer service skills. And for this reason, he is our recipient of the Michael Wilson Award. We are proud of you, Mr. Ajanko. You as well will receive in the morning a basket filled with goodies, well deserving of you. At this time, would you like to say anything?
Yes, good afternoon, everybody. And to you also, Ms. Stacy. I would like to thank especially you who believe in me and, you know, the managers in Metro Access Challenger Transportation. So I would like to thank everybody for believing in me. And then, you know, I love doing my job. I love my job. So maybe that's why I'm getting better with it, because if you love what you do, you get better at it. So, yeah, I think that's about it. So I just want to thank, you know, you and everybody for believing in me and trusting me. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for our wonderful recipients, award recipients for this month. Yeah. I see Mr. Blake is here for the beginning of some of our topics here. And hopefully he also has ready for me to give to the committee that wonderful abilities rider information, as I glossed over the stats and saw about 4,500 and wanted to add another set of numbers to see what the average daily ridership is on a weekday total. But Mr. Blake, whenever you can send that'd be great. But we can start with the first topic about window change. And I have some feedback to give after you give your what you're bringing to the committee.
Yes, last month, as you know, member Vanessa Coles raised an interesting question. I thought a very good question, say that if you're changing the pickup window or you're thinking about changing the pickup window, what about changing the amount of time we have to wait for a return trip? And I said, that was very interesting, we'll look at it. I can tell you right now, we haven't come to a final decision. There are things we need to take into consideration of, because Metro Access is a shared ride service. So you say, well, I just want to run into the store for a prescription. Certainly don't need to wait an hour, hour and a half for that, but there's a customer on the other side of that trip. And there could be a customer inside the vehicle. So how do we avoid those situations where we say to some customers, your trip really could be quick and we can wait for you. And the others, well, your trip is a long shared ride service, so you just have to wait while we're waiting for this customer to finish their grocery shopping. Or what if you get inside the store and your prescription isn't ready? Then what? So there are circumstances we need to think of. We need to think more about. And also then also the late piece of it. Well, how do you measure if a trip is late or not? Or do we now start measuring the customer on time performance and punishing the customer? No, we wouldn't do that. But there's a lot that we need to take into consideration before we jump into that. And also, it's not just about what's happening today. You've all heard me say at some point we would like to see perhaps same day service. Well, how does that play into that? If we've got vans sitting around while people are shopping or visiting or picking up things, how does that impact the amount of resources we have to provide a higher level of service? So we're still thinking about it. Let's put it that way. But I think it was a very good question, good timing. We need some more time to think more about this.
So you're discussing that topic first before the window change about return policy, sir, the return policy.
No. The window change is a policy we can do and we're most likely will do.
Mm-hmm.
Changing the return time, the amount you have to wait on the return, that's a question that we have to have a little more discussion on to make sure it can be done. Is it feasible? Is it, given the resources, can we do it? So we have to think about it. And also, again, if we were running non-shared ride service sort of the way we were doing during the pandemic, yeah, but that's not the future of Metro Access. So we can't plan based on turning Metro Access into Uber per se. We have to plan that Metro Access is like the bus or the train. And you know, the bus or the train doesn't wait while you run in the store and get what you want and then, you know, wait for you. So we have to plan this as a public transit service and figure out ways to be more flexible, but ensure that the resources are there for all customers equally.
All right, so that is it for the return policy, right? And so we're now diving. Now,
yeah, that's not a no, but it's certainly not a yes at this point.
Okay, so now we can dive in the window change.
That's why you were saying.
Oh yeah, because I'm looking at the agenda. I'm like, okay. Oh, he already jumped at, from one topic to the other. I just want to just to be clean for the notes, which topic we're talking about first. I'm looking at the agenda. But yeah, that's fine. You already talked about that topic. Are there any questions about that particular topic before we go back to the window change? Just for the edification of people, of the person who's taking notes for this meeting, you know, when the minutes are written. No questions about that. Then we'll go about the window change.
Yeah, sorry about that. I was so heartbroken over not having to come here and say yes to Ms. Coles and her wonderful question. I just dove right into that subject because I hate to break Ms. Coles' heart, but it's not a no just yet, but it's not certainly not a yes at this point. So now the pickup window, yes, Metro Access has a 30-minute pickup window. And we are looking, and as you know, just to summarize, the pickup window begins 15 minutes before the pickup time and goes through 15 minutes after the pickup time. It is our goal and our hope that beginning July 1st, we will change that pickup window to start at the pickup time and go 30 minutes after that. So we're not extending the pickup window. It's not getting larger. We're just changing the moment and time that it begins. And we believe that this will help a lot of customers. Because customers, number one, and just the confusion of the pickup time, that still, even though it's been this way for many years, that's still an issue I hear from customers. But the other piece is just the timing of it all, which is I get off of work at 6 o'clock. Metro Access, you want to pick me up at 5:45. I get out of class at 6 o'clock. Metro Access, you want to pick me up at 5:45 or you're picking me up too early for my doctor's appointment. We believe that if you start the pickup window at the time that the customer requested to be picked up, that gives the customers more assurance. It eliminates a lot of confusion, and we make it a better service. And as was pointed out, New York, is just one example, but a lot of other places actually use the or have a pickup window that begins at the time that the customer wants to be picked up, at the pickup time. So that's where we want to begin on July the 1st. And as you pointed out, if we're going to do this, we need to have robust messaging through the IVR and other ways to reach the customers so that they can be ready for this. And we absolutely will follow those directives if this policy goes into effect beginning July 1st.
And it's my assumption that this will also change reservation scripts. This will also modify making whatever changes needed to the customer service guide. Mm-hmm. And then also I want to add the point of abilities, right? Like for right now, with some of the providers, it's mixed. Like with Yellow Cab, the way y'all give information in terms of the pickup time is that, the time in the middle, we shall say, if it's 5:30, your pickup's between 5:15 to 5:45, that type of time. So with this, just want to be clear that with all abilities ride trips, as you send them to a third party provider, is it my understanding that it will be in line and with this new policy when it goes into effect, hopefully July 1st?
That's correct. It will be their pickup time. Yes.
And I see Vanessa has her hand up and has a question.
Yes. Hi. I had to go offline for a minute, so you may have answered this question. But recently, I had to make a trip because I usually have a reservation or a subscription. Sorry, but what I recognize is that when I'm making the trip, the reservationists are telling us how long it's going to take us to be on the van, which I know doesn't take any more than 15, 20 minutes to get to my church on Sundays, and they quoted a whole hour that I could possibly be on the vehicle or in the vehicle. So is that come July the 1st, is that going to be the same kind of script they're going to be noting? And is it necessary? Because I really don't want to know or need to know. But maybe someone else do. I don't know.
I presume, and then I'm going to let Mr. Blake answer. That was put in part because of fixed time equivalency, if I'm correct, but I'm going to let Mr. Blake answer that in full.
You're absolutely right, Mr. Summerford, because and it will continue to be a part of our script, whether the window changes or not, because as Ms. Coles just pointed out, if I were kind enough one Sunday morning to come over in my personal vehicle and pick her up and take her to church, yeah, it'll probably only take 15 minutes. Now, I drive real slow, so it may take 25 minutes. But, Ms. Coles, when you're calling Metro Access and you're getting on board a Metro Access vehicle, you're not taking a personal trip in my vehicle or anybody else's. You're riding public transportation. So that trip is not 15 minutes from your house when you use public transportation. That trip is whatever amount of time that the agent is saying to you. And the purpose of it is, I know you say you don't need it, but actually you do need it, because we need you to be aware that if you believe you're going to be on the vehicle for only 15 minutes, then your expectations could be wrong. And the time that you ask for us to pick you up will need to be adjusted. If we tell you that you're going to be on the vehicle for an hour, but you thought it was going to be 15 minutes, so you booked your trip for 8:45, thinking you would get there at 9, when you're actually not going to get to church until 9:45, then you may stop and say, hey, if I'm going to be on the van for an hour, I need to move my pickup time back, and then you can discuss it. But what we're trying to do is set the expectations of customers who are using a shared ride public transit service as to the amount of time you could potentially be on the vehicle for that particular trip. It is a very important piece of information. So we want customers to be aware. Now, it's not going to make anybody happy per se, but it's very informative so that customers won't necessarily call me or file a complaint that they've been on the vehicle too long, because they're going to be told up front how long that trip actually takes.
I understand that. I understand that. But it sounds like to me that you're making the consumer adjust to your requirements. In other words, I have to reschedule my life to adjust to your requirements, which...
Well, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. We gotta put it this way. If you were not a customer who was eligible for Metro Access, and you didn't have a car or a personal vehicle at your disposal on Sunday mornings, and you were instead going to use public transportation to get to church, what time would you leave your house to get there?
I would not. No. And so this is a service for people, paratransit service. So, I mean, I understand you all are trying to accommodate everyone and trying to find, I guess, that happy medium for everyone.
No, time out. I hate to interrupt you, Ms. Coles. But we're not trying to find a happy medium. We're following the law. The Americans with Disabilities Act says that a customer's trip is the equivalent of a person using fixed route service. So we're not finding a happy medium. We're providing you with public transportation. That's why I say, if you didn't have a car and you needed to use public transportation from your home to church on Sunday mornings, what time would you leave home to get to church on time?
I have not calculated that, Mr. Blake, but I see your point. It's been the same. Nothing's really changed then. So you're just making a statement to let us know now?
That is correct. We're giving you your expectations so that you don't book a trip to your church expecting to be there in 15 minutes and not knowing that it actually takes an hour.
I would not expect to be there in 15 minutes. I'm aware that there's traffic and all of that. I would not expect that. That would be an unrealistic expectation with paratransit. So my point is, the statement itself, I guess. I don't see a need to say it, have to say it.
Okay, well, I appreciate that, and we'll accept that. But your opening statement said the trip takes 15 minutes, and they told me it's an hour. But if you book your trip, even thinking it's going to be 30 minutes with traffic, or even 35 minutes or 40 minutes, if you are not aware that it actually is going to be an hour, you're not going to give yourself enough time for Metro Access to get you to your church on time.
And we can all move on. Mine is a special situation. I only have an hour in church, so I don't want to toy with times like that. So we can move on.
All right. You. Are there any other AAC members anew that are want to speak on this specific topic before I am going to entertain a member of the public?
Chair Samuelport, this is Anu. I do not see any other hands up at this point besides the member of the public.
Janice, is your comment related to this specific topic right now, or can it be saved for public comment? Because the preference is it needs to be relevant to this specific topic that you have.
It is relevant to this specific topic, but if you want me to hold it, I can.
Oh, you can go ahead, as long as it's, I just want to make sure.
Right. With regard to the Abilities Ride program and the changes in the pickup windows, currently, if I make a reservation for Abilities Ride, I'm asked if I have a pickup or an appointment. And if I say I have a pickup, then I'm given a window of time, a half hour window of time. And then that's transferred over to Uber. And then I can request the ride when I'm ready. It does not have to be within that specified 30-minute window of time. Is that going to change?
No, it's not.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
All right. So just to clarify that now, yes, with Uber, which is a little different beast, we either get the link or sometimes they may set it at whatever the pickup time is, which I presume is what's going to be used now until July 1st when, you know, whatever that stated time is, that would be sent. Because there's two ways that Uber can sit to a, you know, set up for a customer. I just wanted to clarify that, Mr. Blake.
Right. Okay, so I think Mr. Blake understood what I was asking.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Oh, no, I was just clarifying something just similar to
other
it.
Other people might have different circumstances.
Right. 99%, I mean, and that's always exaggerated, but 99% of the Uber trips are booked by what we call the flex option, where the customer receives the link and they can click on the link whenever they're ready to be picked up. And that's not going to change. There are times when a customer's trip might be running late or other unusual circumstances where we have to book by a pickup time. And that happens generally on the day of. I could tell you that the team that sends trips over to Uber the night before, at this point, no trips are being sent over as scheduled pickup trips.
Okay.
Yeah.
All righty. And are you going to, Mr. Blake, come back to us at some point, since this is going to be implemented July 1st, as to what the communication rollout plan is, you know, as it gets closer, when you're affirmed that it will happen July 1st?
Yes, you should hear from us in the middle of April, most likely, and then by the time we have the April Metro Access Subcommittee meeting, if all planning goes according to the plan, if you will, you should have a rollout plan of how we're going to communicate it and go from there and help inform our customers about these changes.
All right. I see another hand up from Rico. And Rico, is this related to this topic here that we're talking about right now, which is the Metro Access window change?
And the interpreters would have to communicate.
Give them time, to get a response. I know.
I'm very concerned about my last trip.
Oh, is this a Metro Access trip or on bus or rail?
Just give me 1 second. I'm trying to get my connection to connect.
Oh, okay. I'm just seeing which way. If it's for bus or rail, then ask him if he can save that for public comment. But if it relates to this topic, it pertains to Metro Access, then of course ask the question.
Okay. I'm going to be leaving at 5 today. So I won't be able to stay until 6 for the public comments.
Oh, okay. Oh, so that's why you want to ask the question now. Okay. I will allow him to ask his question.
Hear me now? Okay, I called last Thursday at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I pushed 2 for representative for check on my ride. the operator, I don't know who he was talking to, me or the interpreter. I don't know who he was talking to. He said, what the F? He used profanity language. I know he was talking to me or another person. He said, what the F, you retarded MF? Words up his mouth. And the interpreter was shocked, and she interpreted that what he said. And my question is, a dispatcher used them type of language, I was shocked.
Oh.
I was angry. I was every word from every word. I never knew. I was just angry. And the interpreter repeated what he said. And she said, excuse me? And oh no, he was on another call with he was on his personal phone. I don't know. But what the interpreter said, what we heard. And I need to someone from manager to look into this kind of, I was angry.
Right. And so I just received your information that you sent in about this from ANU, and we are pulling, or we're having the management team at the call center pull the recordings of your calls that day so we can identify the individual. And even if he wasn't speaking to you, the fact that got on a hot mic even was not something to tolerate, and we would not accept it. So this is being investigated, and you're going to be hearing back from me directly once I get all the information.
Okay, because I use called corporal communication, and interpret from corporal communication, interpret exactly what he said.
And that's what I learned a few years ago in an AAC meeting. That's what their job is supposed to do. I mean, that became a big discussion, and I learned a lot. So I'm not blaming the interpreter at all, because the interpreter is doing their job. But we need to find who that individual is and address them accordingly based on the facts that are discovered.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Rika.
You're welcome.
All right. New, I see a hand up from guest six. Is that a committee member or a member of the public?
Chair Samerford, this is Anu. I believe that is a member of the public. No other committee members have any hands up at this point.
Can you identify yourself, guest six? And is this a question that's related to this topic?
This is Anu. The person is on phone. The last four numbers are 2355.
Good evening. I am a Metro Access rider, and it is about the topic.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I came in late.
Also, if you can give us your name too. Okay.
Okay, my name is Nisha Castier. And I thought I heard him talking about the window time change. I missed it. So if I could just get a brief synopsis, I'm sorry.
Oh, so I'm going to let Mr. Blake give the very quick synopsis since right. It's going to be.
Yes, real quick. And thank you for the question. Currently, Metro Access has a 30-minute window, pickup window, and that's not going to change. But right now, the pickup window is, let's say your pickup time is 4 p.m. Your pickup window is 3:45 to 4:15. What this change is going to be is a 30-minute window that begins at 4 p.m. and ends at 4:30. That's the only change.
Okay, so it just means that technically my pickup window starts at 3:45?
Currently, it does. Currently, like if your pickup time today... Did you have a trip today by any chance, just to help us with this example?
No, I have a trip tomorrow.
And what time is your pickup time tomorrow?
My pickup starts at 7:08.
Okay, so from 7:08 to 7:38, you should be ready. So in between there is your pickup time. Under this new policy, so 7:08 plus 15 is what, 23. Under the new policy.
You subtract 15 minutes from 7:08 because that's the middle time that's given for the pickup.
Right, so 7:08 plus 15 is 7:23.
No, minus 15. You have to go back the other way. Okay.
Oh, I thought she said her window began at 7:08. See, this is the confusion.
Oh, okay. Okay. So under the new policy, it would just start at 7:08, and then you just count 30 minutes from there. That would be.
Well, no, because if her window is starting at. So again, your pickup window, ma'am, starts at 7:08 tomorrow, correct?
Yes.
So if her window starts at 7:08, then
it'll be 15 minutes before and 15 minutes after that time. Right.
No. 7:08 is the 15 minutes before her pickup time.
Uh-huh.
Because the window starts at 7:08.
Oh, okay. Got it.
You see what I'm saying? So that's what we're trying to eliminate.
But yeah, so all this confusion.
Your pickup window next July would be 7:23 to 7:53.
So why would they give me a 7:08 time? I'm just trying to figure out what's this 15 minutes.
Okay, so the 7:08 time is because tomorrow your pickup time is 7:23, but the window starts 15 minutes before your pickup time.
Okay, get it. Okay, thank you.
That's what we're trying to eliminate, right?
Okay, cool. Thank you. You guys have a nice evening.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for the question.
Thank you. All right. If I don't hear anything else right now, so we can move on with the agenda, I'm going to stick in that trip booking thing only because it's very minor. So with management here, Miss Anderson, most famously, the issue I've seen like today, and again, it's around that. It seems to be that 3 o'clock to 4:30 time, somewhere, or you know, within an hour or two before, you know, you can't make a trip until it moves to the next day. It is extremely slow. It took me, I was just making 3 trips. It took me roughly 30 minutes to do. The reason is with each trip, I had to kind of book it again 3 times because it would start the process of selecting a time and then it would just stop in the middle of the process. So, of course, I have to go back to see if it's part of my trip list, or that just tells me already I need to redo the trip again 3 times, and it was slow. So, I mean, other times outside of that, like I said, late at night, early in the morning, that type of thing, it works fine. It's just right around, it seems, this time, I guess, when the most resources are used online by a lot of people, both on phone or whatever, if that's the case, that it is acting like this. Does that make sense, Ms. Anderson?
Actually, it does. From a standpoint of our WMATA IT team has been working with Trapeze from your first report to try to make modifications to the online system to correct some of those latency issues that you're describing.
Mm-hmm.
They thought they had a fix that they actually put into production. But then we started hearing from customers of some issues they were experiencing. So they had to kind of back it out. They're still trying to kind of come to conclusion as to kind of what's going on. So basically, bottom line, they're still working on it. So maybe.
What I've learned to do is probably not do, if I'm doing a trip for tomorrow, don't do it 2 hours or an hour and a half before that 4:30 time or roughly an hour after, because it's going to be kicking you out. You have to redo it again. It's I'm not going to pick up the phone and make that reservation for the next day. So it's just better to do it well the advice is, telling customs, as you always been, so recently advocating, is to make your reservations in advance. You can do it up to 7 days, especially don't wait until that, 3 o'clock, or I'm going to say 2:30 plus, to do it for the next day before that 4:30 crunch time, where there's reservations in online and on the phone.
Correct. And actually, I'm glad that you are kind of the eyes and ears out there from the customer experience. So please continue to kind of provide your information as to your experience. And maybe the next meeting I can come back with an update as to what's going on that front. But Trapeze, as well as our team, are aware that the situation is still occurring and trying to get that resolved.
All right. I see Tawan's hand, and then followed by Doris. Is this related to this topic about Trapeze or another topic that we previously already discussed on the agenda?
It is current topic.
Okay, go ahead, Tawan.
Okay, so I have experienced a very similar scenario, or at least I've interpreted the same way, because mine is more live call, calling in, persons putting the trip in, and I'll admit, I tend to be a little late on putting trips in. That's why I don't have trips in for tomorrow, because I totally forgot. And then I just looked at the time. So that's called Uber at its best, paying out of pocket. Here's what happens. So I called. It was in the 4 o'clock hour, early 4 o'clock hour on some day, maybe a couple of days ago. And the person came back after I told them what time I was looking for, or approximately. They came back and said, "We don't have any trips." And I was like, "What?" So absolutely no trips. And I assume a very similar act was occurring to that employee of Metro Access. There, the system was just spinning. Nothing happens. I do have one question, though. One variable that I wondered about, because again, I tend to be last minute in putting in trips. Was that a factor only because the resources are being overloaded and I was looking for something the next day, or would that have happened if, let's say, it had been any of the other 6 days I could have gone for that were available to me?
Well, what I will say to you, Tawan, at least because I'm almost the sole user of online booking, when those types of slowness issues happen, I really have to go back to the menu, the main list, to see all my trips, to see if it's fully booked, or because it's two scenarios. It books, or you don't see it on your trip list, and that tells me it's partially booked. So when I rebook it again, I may see it on the list for that day and I need to take that trip out, or it's going to come back saying there's already an overlapping trip, which is this sort of halfway ghost trip that I need to take out first online.
Okay.
But I will let Miss Anderson take it from here for her response.
Yeah. So, Mr. Farmer, I think you said that you called in to book your trip. You weren't trying to book your trip online, is that correct?
Correct. I'll call in and it will be late. It'll be like maybe 4 o'clock, and it will be a trip for the next day. So I wanted all those factors to be relevant, that it is a, let's say, after 4 o'clock, after 3:30 trip, going for something the next day. Mm-hmm. And it seems to me that the employee who is putting in the trip, maybe, and not on all occasions, but on some occasions, are struggling to find a relevant time to book the trip. I admit that, like we said earlier, it could be that I'm booking something, resources are in high demand, and I'm booking something for the next day. Mm-hmm. So what do you believe is the conclusion there? Is that what's happening? It's just an overload of resources?
Yeah, well, basically what's happening, depending on the time of day that you're trying to book that travel, and you are kind of at the end, say, of reservations when they're about to close, you may find that there are other customers that came before you that also wanted that hot time frame, just like, say, with Uber. If you're booking during rush hour, sometimes it gets kind of tight to honor that booking request. However, let me say this. Metro Access has zero trip denials. So we're going to get you a trip. And that's why we kind of have the 45 minutes before the requested time, the 45 mm-hmm. minutes after the requested time, to try to find a window somewhere in that time frame to be able to offer you for your travel. So what I would suggest, though, is booking your trip, trying to, if you can, book it, either call earlier in the day, mm-hmm. maybe uh-huh. call a day or two before, where you might find that it will be more openings maybe for that time slot than calling at the last minute.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make
sense?
Thank
you very much. Oh, absolutely. All right.
My pleasure.
All right. Doris, I see your hand. Is it related to this topic that we're speaking of, or one of the topics we already covered on this agenda so far?
Actually, Paul, I had tried to raise my hand in the previous topic, and somehow it didn't register until the very, very end. Could I ask that quick clarification?
Go ahead.
Or not? Okay. So on the previous topic about the arrival time and window, I understand now that starting July 1, the selected arrival time or pickup time will be the beginning of the window, and the window will extend out for 30 minutes after that. And as a consequence, that would mean your then ability to call in and say, where's my ride, will be 30 minutes after pickup time. Am I understanding that correctly?
I could answer it, but I'm going to let Ms. Anderson answer that, or Mr. Blake. I don't want to make mistakes on that one. Because I do have
okay,
an answer,
so
but I
want to
make sure.
Right,
I want to make sure.
The pickup time will now become the beginning of the window. Yeah,
so that is correct. That's the essential point. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And so if this is starting July 1, what I would suggest is to monitor this, because, you know, people have been using the other scheme now for a very long time. And it might become confusing and possibly even overwhelm the where's my ride, you know, the capability of the operators to keep up. But also I would suggest a lot of education out there so that people know it, because, you know, one of the things at the beginning of Metro, when Metro Access started and such, is that it took some time to get people get it in people's mind that that they had to be ready 15 minutes in advance and all of that. And the thing that is concerning is that the problem was at the beginning, sometimes the vehicles would show up early and people would think that they were being rushed, you know? So, you know what I'm talking about, right? All the confusions at the beginning. Mm-hmm. So I'm just suggesting that we may need to be doing a lot of education and people will get mad if this is happening during 4th of July weekend.
No, I was very adamant with management and both last meeting and this meeting, Doris, that happens. And for them to come back to us in April, May, if this all goes through, what that communication plan will be, that clear communication plan, and what modes and outlets are we going to get the word out to all customers, so they clearly understand what the expectation is if this comes to pass and they're ready to do this July 1st of this year.
Yeah, just reinforcing that message because I'm not even using Metro Access and I'm confused. So, all right.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, I see your hand, Vanessa, and then we're going to, after your comment, move on to the next topic.
Okay, this is Vanessa. My comment is, I guess, for Mr. Blake, maybe. So, Mr. Blake, does that mean we still have to wait an hour before our return trip? Does that affect that, or has that request been addressed or considered?
Yes. So, yes, Ms. Coase, you missed that part of the meeting where I was saying I didn't want to disappoint you. So the answer right now is no, you can change. We're going to change it, but we haven't come up with a solution that addresses all concerns around changing that policy at the moment. So right now, the pickup window does not impact a change in the return time scheduling at this moment.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. All right.
We're still looking.
All right. So next we have on the agenda, Mr. Blake, that where's my ride application pilot? I'm sure beyond me, there's other people who, okay, I know you said mostly abandoned, but I'm the one, the true, and I've given you pretty extensive feedback from all over the spectrum of what I've gotten from that app. And I will continue to use it and give you feedback as soon as I get it by text, like times where I will say it will give me it, you know, it will tell me, like, you know, it will be there exactly at the beginning of that pickup window and it's coming, you know, almost 30 minutes late or past the window. It's telling me that the traffic is light and the driver is like, it was heavy traffic. And I had your trip, it was just heavy traffic, that type of thing. So I'm coming into the question now, having, you know, one with, you know, lots of trips and a variety of trips. I guess I can because it's unsolicited feedback, the validity of when it talks about traffic condition. So what is it basing its traffic condition on? Is it on Waze or Google or what application is my curious question as a customer?
It's using Bing Maps, which is like Waze and others, supposed to be informed by real-time traffic.
I mean, because like I said, half the time it's on point, and then half the time, as I said, I've gotten texts, where the information is not useful. And in a few occasions, it came after, the trip is already in process and I'm on the van. Obviously, that's not useful information then. Or it's, saying it's the beginning of the window, but you don't see it until the middle or the end. And I know you've been striving to work with and I'll let you speak to it, with the provider to try to give information, ideally, within, I'm presuming you're setting your markers less than, 10 minutes before it's actually on a fixed vehicle. But I'm going to let you see if you have any more updates or any pieces of information to share.
Not a lot of updates, other than we're continuing to accept feedback from you and other customers. And the text message portion is going to be secondary. What we're really trying to do is understand the accuracy of where it's finding the vehicle. Now, the challenge we're having right now is, when it sends you a notice And we
it's only in that point in time because that's correct. All I see. Correct. I would love to, like the app in New York City, be able to get up to date information if that's possible. I don't need to know the vehicle number, but at least see where the vehicle is setting, because I know that Metro Access is fluid and changing, depending on people canceling or what other factors that may go on.
And that's what we're trying to get to. That's why I said the text message aspect of this is going to be placed secondarily, because there'll be some people who still require text messaging, especially if they don't have a smartphone or aren't the greatest with web browsers and things like that. We still want to find a way to get them some information too. But what we're trying to do is put it in a position where we're not pushing information out, but you have access to the information. You can check it now. Oh, it says it's going to be here in 10 minutes. Let me start getting ready. 7 minutes later, you check it to get an update. So it may not look like your Uber app where you're watching the vehicle turn by turn. We're not going to promise that at this point. Mm-hmm. But you can go back and check your app again in 5 minutes and see, is it 5 minutes away or did it get caught up in some traffic and it's still 10 minutes away? So you'll have the ability to just hit a refresh button and get updates on the vehicle until it arrives. But we want to make sure that the accuracy is there every time you refresh. And that's what we're working on now. We're still going to do the text messaging big rollout. But at the moment, we think trying to be accurate and getting the system to send you a text message while also trying to be accurate and getting the system to tell you where the vehicle is might be too tough of a push at the moment. So we want to focus on the accuracy of the vehicle location, estimated time of arrival, and give you access to a web page, basically, that you will be able to refresh to know updates of your trip.
All right.
So think of this as Uber back in the days of beepers instead of smartphones.
Oh, so this is kind of modified. So I won't get this turn by turn by Uber, but at least I can refresh and see 5 minutes later instead of getting just one point in time and that's it. Okay, that's where the vehicle was. I can at least see, and you know, 5 minutes later, is it making
any progress
or traction?
That is correct.
According
keep to in mind, traffic, the turn by turn Uber looking aspect was going to be way at the end of this anyway, because that's a whole another heavy lift of programming. Right now, we want to get you information about the vehicle so that if you decide not to call Where's My Ride, but want to go on your computer or your mobile browser on a phone or a cell phone enabled tablet, you can just go ahead and look at it yourself.
Now, have you checked into seeing how they do it on that My MTA app where they've integrated everything together for both bus, train, and paratransit?
Yes, and that's what we want to do. But so here, and we've kind of talked about this before, but I'm always careful because But our, as you know, and we've had this conversation, this isn't nothing new. I mean, we had the discussion with the OIG report, you remember, and that's where we came up with the Garmins. See, the Garmins are providing real-time traffic information, but they're giving real-time traffic information once that vehicle has been determined to be the vehicle that the trip should be applied to. Our actual system, and you've heard the name Trapeze, right now is not based on real-time traffic information. So it's not that we can't just send you information from the system. If you remember the 10-minute pre-arrival call that you said you would get 45 minutes later, well, that was that was coming directly out of the system. So during periods like now, to a certain extent, and certainly during the pandemic, our system works wonderful. I mean, our OTP, as you remember, was like 97%. But when you have a lot of traffic on the streets, you're at a disadvantage. So it doesn't, it won't make your life better, and it won't be positive customer service for us just to create an app that's feeding information from that system. So what we're trying to do, and it's been work, much like with the abilities ride, we're trying to find a way outside of that system to facilitate information. When it comes to abilities ride, it's facilitating information to Uber and Yellow Cab and Regency and Action Taxi and Silver Cab to get some customers trips outside of Metro Access. When it comes to this Where's My Ride, we're trying to facilitate information outside of our system that will give you real-time traffic-based information as to the location of your vehicle.
Because I will comment that, like, on my abilities ride trips, like, for instance, with Curb and with DC Yellow Cab, Uber's a different animal. You know, those GPS, when they send me that link, it's like, oh, pretty much on spot for the most part. And hopefully this will get to that. I know there's some levels you have to get to first because it's dealing with different beasts.
They're using real-time traffic information. We're going to get there. And once we do a new solicitation, either with the current provider or a new provider, perhaps, our new solicitation will involve procuring a system from top to bottom that's based on real-time traffic. In the meantime, though, again, giving you information that's not taking the traffic into consideration probably will create more frustration for customers than sound solution. So that's why we're trying to do this this bridge until we get the one all-encompassing system. And the bridge is coming soon. Take my word for it. But your feedback is
feedback. I try to be as detailed as possible. And very explicit. All right. Any other members have any questions about this little project that's being done right now? If not, I would like to find out from you, Mr. Blake, if I go to the last topic about, do you happen to have in front of you, just for our edification, but for new sends it, what the numbers are looking for, I guess, in line with what we have in our data report for abilities, right? Average weekday trips.
Well,
because I know the numbers from what they give us now.
Go ahead. What I want to give you is the overall ridership, because that, I mean, the average weekday, again, as we talked about, is a fluid number, but the best way to just know, as we've been talking about how many trips are being provided through Abilities Ride. So for the month of January, we had 45,378. And for the month of February, you had 46,306. So what that means is when you look at those ridership numbers in your report,
because I see about 4,500 for that month. I want to add, how many that matches average weekday rides to get a good idea of, we know there's more customers riding than 4,500 for that average daily. It's just they're on third-party providers, but you can't include that for obvious reasons that you discussed in
It's not in the same, right? So if you add those together, you do the dedicated service plus this alternative service, you see that over those 2 months, there were about 90,000 trips that could have been on Metro Access, but they were instead on alternative services.
All right. Next, then. Oh, Ms. Rutt.
Just to finish that point off, just for the year, and that's why it's just easy. So far this year, we've had about 350,000 on alternative services.
And thank you for giving that to us. So that's free rides for right now.
For now.
Okay. Ms. Rush, next topic I'm going to need you for this, because I'm sure you have a few lingering questions. So an update on these minivans. And is it possible we can get, if it's possible, and it's for those who haven't been there, some kind of picture and or description of the dimensions of what it looks like or inside, just to get a gauge? Is that possible of this new minivan prototype?
This is Ms. Rush. I want to somehow be shown to you, myself, and others, how you're going to get three people in there, two people and a wheelchair. I want to see the wheelchair strapped down, a body behind it, and one more person. That's going to be a magician.
I just want you to know, Ms. Ray, I just came back from vacation. I lost a lot of weight, so I'll be the person sitting behind the wheelchair. Let's put it that way.
Well, I lost 50 pounds, too, and it's still not going to happen.
Still didn't work. Okay. Well, this is what I will tell you, Ms. Rush. We're gonna try that test. But like we've done with other vehicles, primarily the sedans, and we certainly demonstrated through the pandemic that we can be flexible with our scheduling of vehicles. And as more and more drivers come on board and we put more vehicles on the road, if we do come to the conclusion that, hey, if there's a wheelchair being scheduled onto that vehicle, you can't have more than one other passenger on the vehicle with the customer, whether they're traveling together or two separate Metro Access customers, we certainly can make that policy arrangement as well, just like we've done on other policies with respect to vehicle capacity. So I hear your point. It's loud and clear. We will continue to look at how many people smaller than me can fit on there at one time. But if we do find that to be a challenge from what we already heard from you, and perhaps we'll hear from a driver as well, it will not be a problem for us to only have two people on the vehicles at a time, be they one person in a wheelchair and one ambulatory person, or two ambulatory customers.
Oh, but I was asking also, Mr. Blake, is it possible we can get a description of what that prototype is? And also, what is the status right now of them coming in? Any word yet? Or there'll be, you know, the 23 that are, you know, initial coming?
Oh yeah, they're on their way. They're not in service yet. They're on their way. What I will do is send a note to the AAC as soon as we know the first one is being delivered, because keep in mind, not all the trips, but some of the very early trips on these vehicles, we will look to try to have as many members of the AAC and other interested stakeholders who come to these meetings on a regular basis to have some of their trips, as you say, locked to a minivan just for the experience. So we'll let you know as soon as we know that they're going to be put into service, so you can be prepared to ride in one.
Any questions from further questions from Ms. Rush or any of the AAC members about this topic? And it's to my understanding also, Mr. Blake, just to be clear from the last meeting, that your division right now is that eventually the majority, okay, let me make sure I'm clear on this, or correct me, the majority of the vehicles in the, at some point in the future, once they come in, would eventually, as they're being replaced, will be minivans in the fleet. Is that correct? I just want to be, you know, is our understanding from last month's meeting?
No, that is absolutely correct. We're utilizing the minivans to replace, as Ms. Rush calls them, the cargo vans. So the cargo vans right now make up the vast majority of our fleet. And as these minivans come in, they will they will replace the four transit vans that we've converted into passenger vans with wheelchair lifts. and we'll be replacing them with minivans with wheelchair ramps.
And I'm presuming part of the reason of the minivan is that they're able to easier get into customer locations where traffic, particularly like in DC or certain areas where it can be very tight, in order to, you know, do the same door-to-door service, you know, and able to safely park and stuff like that.
Yes. I mean,
One of the variety of reasons.
Yeah, the main reason, I mean, it goes back to my personal experience riding the vehicle one day and looking at some other trips and feedback from customers. The reason we went to the sedans and the reason we're going to minivans is that these are the type of vehicles you or I could go to a dealer to purchase for ourselves and our families. Generally speaking, if you're looking for a family car, you're probably not going to go buy a Ford Transit, particularly a cargo type of vehicle, and then convert it to your family automobile. You're going to go to a dealer that sells family consumer vehicles. And so that's what we're trying to do, is to convert this fleet into a fleet that was designed at its onset for passenger travel, so that there's a more comfortable ride and easier ride. But they do themselves present additional challenges. So this is not a criticism of anybody or any decisions ever made in the past. Mm-hmm. But you heard Ms. Rush, as much as Ms. Rush points out discomfort riding the other vehicles, she points out, I mean, she recognizes that we could put four or five people, maybe even six, on those vehicles, where she's saying, I don't see how you're going to get three on this other vehicle. So there's always give and take when you do certain things, but we believe that through proper planning, mm-hmm. And we've demonstrated, I think, with the sedans being incorporated into the fleet, if you keep the vehicles at a certain number of vehicles and you do proper planning, proper scheduling, proper dispatch and monitoring, you can make way with a smaller vehicle in this particular system.
All right.
Mr. Blake, this is Ms. Rush.
And then I see Philippa Smith after your comment.
Okay, I understand it's going to be a better ride. It's not going to be a cargo van. What I don't understand, how are we going to be able to accommodate when you have less space and steadily adding on more Metro Access customers? So the cargo van may hold four people, but this particular holds two, and then the sedan holds two. People are getting older with disabilities and being approved. I'm not calculating in my mind how we are going to be able to accommodate additional customers if we're replacing the cargo van that holds four with a vehicle that holds two. But I'm sure you work it out, but I just can't count, you know, my fingers aren't counting right.
No, you're making a good point, but one first step is that we're always going to encourage, and as we continue to invest, that even as people are joining Metro Access, the nation's finest and most accessible fixed route system is there. And our commitment to travel training and growing the user base of people with disabilities on that system, which is what the ADA has directed all public transit agencies to do, is that's one part of the solution. And of course, the second part of the solution is the fact that we're giving customers options to use other services. If we didn't move 300,000 people so far this year to other services, then we would need some really big cargo vans that take a lot of people in those vehicles. But the fact that customers are utilizing other services, that then frees up. So now you don't need necessarily a whole lot of vehicles that take four people, because two of those people are using Uber sometimes, or using Yellow Cab or Action or Regency all over the area.
All right, Philippa, you're up next.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Maybe if my invitation had not been lost and I had been able to see this vehicle with my own eyes, I wouldn't have this question. But my question is, I'm still can't visualize this ramp that the wheelchairs have to go up. Is it going in the side door or in the back? Is it attached? Is it built into the van, or is it pushed up against the van? How steep is it? And maybe Ms. Rush can answer. I just can't imagine feeling that safe with a person trying to push a chair down. I mean, suppose you have a skinny little, not to be sexist, but a skinny little female driver, and you have someone in a large wheelchair. And can we trust that he or she, the skinny little person, can push this wheelchair up and down that ramp? So I'm the ramp is just what keeps sticking in my craw. I just see it as a potential safety problem, but maybe I wouldn't feel that way if I actually saw it.
Okay. Well, I think the whole committee should have seen the vans. So that's Mr. Blake. It's on you.
Right. All right. And I see your hand.
Well, I think I explained
next.
Last time, and Miss Philippa, unless you've been eating a lot of sandwiches since we stopped feeding you at the meetings, you didn't get an invitation because you didn't fit the
criteria. I understand that part, but I'm because you were criteria. Trying to get people who were actually going to use it, but
no,
I'm still
no,
having
no, this. No, time out. Let me be clear. Let me be really clear. I was trying to look at certain demographic of customers based on the interior spacing, the seating size of the vehicle, and accommodating certain individuals of larger stature, if you will. The days of bringing the whole committee to review and other members of the public to review certain things we want to procure, as I pointed out, those days are no longer going to take place, because that is not the role per se of the committee. It created a lot of drama, and it brought attention to me that I was stepping over my bounds in terms of that level of outreach. So you didn't get an invitation. And if we get a new vehicle in the future, you're likely not to get an invitation to that either. So I want to level set your expectations on that. Now, when it comes to the ramp,
yeah, that's my question.
You've actually, so first question is, it's a side entry ramp. So that's number one. But you've actually witnessed these ramps before. If you've ever watched somebody or, gone on yourself, the ramp that's on a Metro bus, it's the same size and same slope as that vehicle. If you've ever watched somebody load up in a wheelchair accessible taxi cab. Now, those are rear entry ramps, so we don't believe in rear entries for our service, but it's the same ramp that those vehicles use.
So it's an automatic ramp that's attached to the vehicle.
Now, these are manual ramps that you pull out of the vehicle that is installed in the vehicle.
Okay. Well, like I said, if the wheelchair users feel comfortable with it, it just keeps seeming to me it might pose a problem. But if they actually experienced it and it didn't pose a problem or give them any cause for concern, I have nothing to say.
But the wheelchair people weren't comfortable with it, Mr. Blake.
No, you're right. And you expressed some concerns. And again, the way that was parked, it was parked on the ground and not on the curb. But once we put you on the curb, it appeared that you were able to.
Pat, Pat, are you on the line?
Yeah, Pat is on the line. I was going to take. Okay, we want to close this topic because we have public comment.
Well, she may have a question. I mean, I think this is fair, just real quick, because, again,
well, Pat, he didn't use the wheelchair. He walked, and he was not comfortable. Pat, are you there?
I see his hand up.
Yes, you have to come off mute, Pat Sheehan.
Patrick, if you're speaking, you're still on mute. You need to unmute yourself.
So I'll recognize Pat, and then Doris will be the last one for this conversation.
Patrick, we are not able to hear you. If you are speaking, you're on mute. Chair Semaford, did you want to?
I'll go with Doris. Go ahead, Doris.
Hi. Let me make sure of a couple of things. And they are. So I understand this is a pull-out ramp, right? Or is it? It's not a separate ramp. It's a pull-out from under the vehicle, right?
Correct.
Yep.
Yes, correct. That's correct.
Yes, okay.
It's installed in the vehicle.
So, and so it's also like many of the minivans that people who use chairs, both manual and power, are driving themselves, right?
Manual would drive themselves. I mean, excuse me. Power would drive themselves. Manual would be escorted by the operator.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying that it's a common thing, right?
Correct. Oh yeah, this is every day all over the country.
And so the other thing I wondered, are these side ramps or are they
ramps.
Back entry ramps? My understanding is they're side ramps.
That is correct.
Okay. So you know, that's a common thing. Now, the question that I do have actually is, when a vehicle is coming to deliver somebody and there are bike lanes present in a jurisdiction, and or floating bus stops, but I guess the most common thing would be bike lanes. And there's no pull up to the sidewalk. What is your expectation about how people are going to get up, whether they have a mobility impairment or they have a different disability, you know, even a sensory disability? What is your expectation about how they're going to get up on the sidewalk? And do you envision, and the last thing is, do you envision these as being usable by people who are using walkers? There are a lot of seniors and other people who are using walkers, and, you know, the stability of the ramp getting into a vehicle and how you have to lean and such is going to be very important to people using walkers. Those are my questions.
Yeah. So, and Anu, this is Pat. I just was able to unmute, so I'd like to speak.
Yes.
Okay,
thank you. Yes. Go ahead, Mr. Blake. I interrupted you. Go ahead, sir. I just want to let you know.
Yeah, he's going to respond to Doris, and then you'll be the last to speak, Pat.
Yeah. So real quick to Doris's question, is good, great questions, and the circumstance of finding access to the curb is not unique to these vehicles. We face it all the time today. If there's a bike lane, my expectation has always been, if there's no other safe area to park the vehicle and deboard the customer, quickly utilize the bike lane, be up on the curb, let the customer off the vehicle or on the vehicle, as the case may be. And there are times when we get complaints and concerns, and we address them. We don't want to make a habit of blocking bike lanes. That's not the business we're in. But given the customers we're serving, the need for a safe pickup and drop off location, I will tell you, it's happened. And as management, we don't discourage. We encourage safe disembarkment and boarding of our vehicles. And so that was the main one. Then you asked about the walkers. Oh, we think customers will use these just like they're using walkers on other ramps in various facilities, locations, vehicles, and unlike in those other places, they will have the benefit of the door-to-door escort from the operator.
Yeah, I think you ought to test them out in some places like Crystal City and at 2300 Clarendon Boulevard, where somebody might be getting off at mid-block, have to go a whole half a block back to be able to get up on a curb ramp. That's a big concern that I'm.
All right, thank you. Okay, Pat, you're up next.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. Sorry, I couldn't get up. Yeah, sorry, I couldn't get off. I
need to get to a new for public comment after that.
Sorry, I couldn't get off of
you. Oh, no worry. Go ahead.
So Denise is correct. I did have some issues with the steepness of the ramp, and I do understand that we were in a parking lot. I am a little bit concerned about the points raised, the safety of the wheelchairs going up and down the ramp. So I would like to have more input on that, because I don't want to see anybody have any issues going up and down that ramp. I did just with my white cane. What I'm more concerned about was the comment, Mr. Blake, that you made concerning how you are going to make your choices concerning who is going to see what type of vehicle or whatever. To me, what we had there was sort of cherry picking, and I understand why you initially chose the people you chose, but I don't see the difference between us looking at Metro Access vehicles and looking at the 8000 series car or the 7000 series rail cars or anything else that we look at. This, whether the committee is giving advice on a vehicle or whether it's giving advice on the 8,000 or the 7,000 or the buses or anything else that's in the rail station, that's going to be a committee decision and committee input. So I think that we want to go back and take a look at that idea of how the committee is asked to give input and when it's being asked to give input, so that you get the entire committee to give input, because all the input is good. I understand that there are requirements for things like for things like the sedans, and I understand the issues with the doors and did they meet the requirement that we have. But if you don't meet a requirement, you don't meet a requirement. And if the committee needs to call WMATA on something like that, then I think it should be able to do that. But I think that we're going down a slippery slope when WMATA gets to decide who's going to see XYZ procurement to give input.
Okay. And I hear your point, Mr. Chairman, but again, you got to understand what was that day was not per se input. The specs of the vehicle, the concepts of the vehicle were things that we had already discussed. What that was a test. It happened to be AAC members, because I believe in the role that you have here, but that wasn't a yay or nay. Just like when you go to see the 8000 series vehicle, you're getting the experience and feedback, but at that point there is no veto power that some felt they had when it came to the sedans. What I was doing that day is conducting a test, because Metro Access fleet team and the management team needed real life experience of certain sized individuals to give to understand the interior spacing of the vehicle. So there is a difference there. Maybe subtle, may not be that obvious. But again, what I'm trying to level set with the committee, if the committee believes, because you said you used the term, Pat, requirements.
Right.
Yeah. when it came to the sedans, as I pointed out, the ADA does not have a list of requirements. The requirements came from the AAC members, which I welcome, I encouraged, I solicited. But in doing so, it gave some members and gave some members of the public belief that you were setting the standard of right. the vehicle that could be purchased.
Right. And no. I understand. Yeah. No, I understand requirements and where they're set from. And I understand the committee and its preferences. And that's good. I mean, I don't want to really debate all of this, but I just want to make sure that as far as the input of the AAC committee is concerned, that we are careful to make ensure that WMATA gets the maximum input from the AAC committee in appropriate situations where it's appropriate. And I get the other things where you need specific information.
No, we agree on that. And okay. you won't have to worry about that. That is definitely
that's important. I mean no point of us of any of us being here.
All right, yeah. We're going to go to public
that
comment.
Be decided. Yeah, thanks, Paul. Anu. Appreciate it.
Anu.
Okay, good.
Okay. Anu. Chair Samford, this is Anu. We have Ansel Torres, who would like to make some comments, and I see another hand up by Libra Robinson. I believe she's a member of the public.
All right, and you want to give this spiel before they begin?
Sure. So any members of the public who would like to make comments would be allotted 3 minutes to speak. And I would try to give you a 30 seconds advance notice if I get a chance. Otherwise, you will hear a ring, a tone at the end of 3 minutes alerting you that your time is up. We are practicing this to make sure that if we have a few members of the public, everybody gets an opportunity to make their comments. If there is additional time remaining and any of the members of the public would like to make more comments, we can definitely come back to you. And for anyone who would like to submit their public comments before or after the meeting, can email us at metroaacchair@wmata.com. or call and leave a message at 202-962-1100. Thank you. Mr. Torres, when you start speaking, I would start the timer of 3 minutes at that point.
Hello. Good afternoon, good evening. Mr. Blake, regarding trapeze, it is my feeling that trapeze is at the core of a lot of the pain and suffering that disabled people go through with metro access. It is an old, outdated system that is broken, that does not seem to be able to fix itself. When is this contract going to be over? Do we have a specific date? Because until they depart Metro Access, my suffering will continue. Regarding the transportation vans, the new minivans, I'm very interested in finding out who are the disability experts, transportation experts that WMATA consulted on these vans. They certainly do not consult the AAC, but I can see how WMATA could go before the federal agency. Oh yeah, we talked to our disabled constituents on the input on these vans. Little would they know that it was done after the fact. So there's $43 million that is unaccounted for, at least to us on the outside who don't know what's going on with this $43 million that went unused in the paratransit budget, I'd like to know what's going on with it. And I will continue to ask it until I do get an answer. Is there a financial incentives by executives at WMATA? Is there a financial incentives in their paycheck when WMATA does not spend money on things that they need to spend it on to assist the disabled community. It is clear that WMATA did not listen to the AAC, didn't listen to just about anyone in the disabled community when it came to setting fares, because they didn't even have a fare set aside for us. We were not even mentioned. It was an unmentionable.
32 seconds.
And basically my position on this is that in Washington, D.C., people do things for you either because they respect you or they're afraid of you. And WMATA has neither of the AAC. Why were more ACT members not at the budget hearings? I was extremely disappointed by that, because if you're supposed to be representing me and representing other disabled people, you're letting us down when you don't show up at these important events. Thank you very much.
All great points. Let me try to cover them real quick. I know you said people do things either they fear you, or what was the other one? I forgot.
Well, they respect you.
Respect you. But you left out the third one, because maybe they just love you. And I know when I started out giving away free fares and taking a whole beating from some of my colleagues over, what the heck are you doing? Where you come up with that idea from? That was just out of love for people who I serve. And that's why, or over a half a million trips, we're gonna be near a million free trips coming up soon. That's called love, not fear. Obviously, I do respect you all, but it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with love for the people we serve, and that's why those benefits have been coming. When it comes to the vehicles, you say, well, who are those disability experts you consulted with? Well, Denise Rush, Darnese Bush, and many other members of the AAC.
Mr. Blake, you're doing exactly what I said in the points I was making. They were consulted after the fact.
No. It was there. Advocacy, their advice, and then my ability to take what they said to turn that into action is why we're even doing this. You wouldn't have sedans in the fleet. You wouldn't have more comfortable minivans coming in the fleet if the members of the AAC and other people in the community who are happen not to be members of the AAC. Hold on, Mr. Torres, let me just finish my little spiel, because you gave me a lot to work with here. So I'm listening to the committee when it comes to the very specifics. Oh, Ms. Rush, should I buy a Chrysler or should I buy a Honda? We're not getting into that level at this stage, because we played that before. I've got my points from my colleagues as to how far I can go with that sort of input. We've shared it and we've discussed it, but the fact that we're changing our fleet, the fact that we're going to more comfortable vehicles, is a direct result of hearing from the members of the AAC and other people who live in this region and use Metro Access. And when it came to looking at, okay, now that we know we want to go in this direction, who else is doing it? How are they doing it? How do we make the vehicle work for the customers? Once we identify that, that's when we said, here is some vehicles we could use. I need the Denise Rushes and others in certain categories of customers to give my eyes a visual of how it is on the vehicle for these individuals, so I could be comfortable moving forward on that. And then finally, about the bonuses and the $42 million. Well, I can tell you one thing. I'm the one who saved all this money, and I haven't gotten no bonus. Now, maybe Terry ain't got it. I don't know. They keep me out of the loop. So I haven't gotten any bonus. I don't think anybody else has gotten any bonus. I don't want to belabor the discussion between you and I on this again, because I did hear your very strong testimony, even though you threw my name around. I don't know if you were positive about me or negative. I'm going to just take it as positive. But you were very strong and consistent in your testimony. You've raised it now to the highest levels of WMATA. You know my answer. I've given you my answer in private. I've given you my answer in writing. I've given you my answer during these meetings. there is no quote unquote savings because there is no, I'm not the CEO of Metro Access. I'm just a little director overseeing the paratransit service. Metro Access doesn't have its own budget per se. Metro Access is part of a larger organization that these things go through cycles. Some years you get a brilliant guy like me to come in and find ways to create some money. A few years from now, there'll probably be somebody far more brilliant than I sitting in this seat, but because of the cycle, there won't be savings. So these things are not a conspiracy. They go in cycles. Metro Access happens to be in a positive financial cycle right now, but that's not going to be forever. And when Metro Access is going to be dependent on the rest of the agency to help carry the water, well, it's going to be a good thing that, you know, these days we can help support our colleagues in providing accessible transportation to everyone as well. I don't know how else to say it to you, Mr. Torres. There is no mysterious money out there. There are no bonuses. Your testimony during the board hearing was very good. I respect it. I support it. But I don't know if we're going to be able to resolve your concerns in a subcommittee meeting. Oh, and Trapeze. So I won't say anything negative about any of our contractors because, again, during the pandemic, we were 97% OTP. That was all Trapeze. There are some things you use language I wouldn't use, especially in a public forum, but I won't disagree. If you're not using real-time traffic, it limits the good information we can give to you and Paul Semaphore and other customers. It's a frustration of mine. I am working very hard. Terrian is working very hard, and a lot of other people are working very hard for us to move forward in looking at a solution that includes real-time traffic. Believe me, if I could have had it yesterday, I would have had it. I don't, and that's why we're working on other ways to get you real-time traffic information.
And when is the contract up?
If I'm not mistaken, they still have another 4 years.
Oh God!
That we could use. No, don't look at it that way. These are what we call option years. So depending on when we can get the solicitation underway, will determine how many more years we're with this particular version of this software. Because keep in mind, and this is what I keep reminding people, they do have real-time traffic solutions now. So they very well could be with us for the next 20 years, but it will be using a different technology, and that's what we're trying to procure.
All right, thank you. Libra, you're up next to speak, 3 minutes.
Okay, thank you and good evening, everyone. Mr. Blake, I have two quick questions. One is I wanted to be clear with the new minivans that are coming out with the ramp, is that just accessible for people in wheelchairs or would anyone or everyone have to use the ramp, whether you have a white cane or any other device? And also, I don't know if this is relevant to this conversation, but I wanted to know, is there anything being done for this for the safety of blind and visually impaired people who have to go to the floating bus stops and have to travel across the bike lane to go to them?
Okay, so in the first piece, the ramp is not mandatory if you don't need it, but I think we're gonna utilize it mostly, but I think that's a very good question. As Patrick was saying, he was concerned about the steepness of the ramp. But theoretically, and I can't speak for Patrick Sheehan and this and others, but I know yesterday, for example, when I came back from the airport, you just step on the minivan. You don't necessarily need a ramp to get on a minivan.
Okay.
And if you have that capability, Ms. Robinson, if you feel you can step into a minivan with guidance and the support of an operator providing you door-to-door service, yeah, why would we pull out the ramp if you don't necessarily need or want it?
Okay.
You know, and so when it comes to the floating bus stops, the AAC has been very, very clear in its concerns about it and its efforts to create a universal design. Beyond that, now, when you say other safety, are you saying prohibit them, take them out, or what other, what would you be looking for when you to reach your standard of safety, if you will, for people who are with visual disabilities having to navigate to a floating bus stop?
Well, I would think because it seems that the bike lane is on the curb, and usually we use the curb to feel when we have to go into the street. So I'm wondering, is there any kind of signal or anything that could be put there in order for us to know if there's a bike coming? Are bikes, people that ride the bike in the bike lane, are they required to use any kind of bell? I mean, how would we know that a bike is coming when we're crossing the bike lane?
That's a very good question. Now, before I go on and on, because I love to talk, as y'all probably can tell, Ms. Lopez, being our ADA lead on this, would you like to make any comments about what Ms. Robinson is speaking of?
Mr. Blake?
Yes, ma'am.
I must apologize. Up to 30 seconds ago, I was listening intently and I started typing an email and my brain had just got decided.
Okay. So if just no problem. Talk,
could you just recap, please? And I will be glad.
Floating bus stops.
Okay, bikes, that's what I'm writing customers. About.
Yeah, where are we with floating bus stops as okay. a policy matter?
Okay. Yes, we are fiercely advocating for providing a better better safety features if for some reason there has to be a floating bus stop, which apparently we're being overwhelmed by. And one of the safety features has to do with audible signage, so that when you approach and the bus stop, you will be able to get an audible message telling you that you're going to be crossing a bicycle path, so that you're aware about it. And the other thing we're advocating for is a stop sign, so that people who use bicycles stop when there is a bus berthed at the location, and they stop for pedestrians prior to crossing that. There are other features that we have been trying to include, and I think a lot of jurisdictions are doing it. We're having detectable warning tiles as you're crossing, so that you're aware that something's happening that's different. We are also have asked for some guidance tiles to describe how to where the bus door is going to be, but we're still in that process.
Thank you. Ms. Thank Robinson, you. I hope that helps for
yes,
now.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Chair Samuelford, this is a new, Ms. Rush, you have your hand up. Go ahead, please. We only have 2 minutes remaining.
Yep, you're the last to speak, and then Anu will give her blurb, and we are closing.
This is Ms. Rush. The AAC, that's the Accessibility Advisory Committee, we have to realize that we are only advisors, and we really want them to listen to us, or WMATA, or whoever asks us a question or we give a suggestion. We want them to hear us, understand what we're saying, but we're only an advising committee, and we're only paid attention to really after it's purchased, it's a done deal, and what you're going to do about it. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I'll just say I don't necessarily totally agree with Ms. Rush on that one, but I will say that we do listen. A whole lot of what we're doing is based on feedback I've received and the agency has received from this committee. A lot of what we're doing, in fact, from the between car barrier, there's just a lot, and we don't need to go through that. And I would just say, again, I think your testimony was heard. Not going to make any promises here. We'll see how it plays out. Yes, could have been more of you testify, sure, but the voices that testified, I believe, strongly were heard, and let's just see how it plays out.
Yes, they do hear us, but it's some of it's before we have passed on, and some of it's for 10 years, 7 years, a long time. You have to keep repeating it. They will hear it, but it'll be many, many years when there's a change.
Not all the time. I hear you, though. Not all the time. Hey, we might be getting the gangway trains. Look how quickly that turned around. Let me not start that. Okay.
All right. So can I get? So it is now 6 o'clock. I would like to make a motion for adjournment. No one's saying so moved.
So okay. Moved.
All right. All in favor, please do saying aye. Okay. Aye. Motion is adjourned.
Great meeting, everybody. I love the discussion and look forward to talking with you all.